Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it shows we've returned again for another broadcast of Blog Talk Radio. Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, it shows, Baruch Hashem. We are now at 11:03 a.m. Blessed is our eternal creator. And I just want to mention, before we go weiter in Yiddish further, that this is your turn into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert this is the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Talk. This is Soul Talk number 799, one class before reaching that number 800, which maybe we'll talk about that next week. What is the significance of the number 800? But these are teachings today, thoughts being shared with you, blessed souls around the world, from Proverbs, teachings to access wisdom and righteousness, presentation number 22. Blessed is our eternal creator, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. With the Creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on November 26th at 11:04 a.m. And this is Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals AKA, equals USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. The central topic for discussion will be sharing the written and oral Torah traditions regarding King Solomon's Proverbs, one of the most powerful teachings from the Israelite Tanakh, Torah, Prophets, Holy Writings. phone number if you want to try to make this program a little more organic is 563-999-3688. Meanwhile, the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Children of Israel, and Children of Noah, working together to remove the hatred, jealousy, and competition from the blessed earth, written all traditions of Israel. And joining me is my longtime co-host, teacher, student, advocate, and disseminator of the teachings of the Nesher Godo, Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, Maimonides, Dennis Ryan. Good morning, sir. Dennis? Oh, no, not again. Let me see if we can try to bring him in again. Dennis? Oh, no. For some reason, we can't bring in Dennis again. Oh, boy. More Don's Law, the Jewish version of Murphy's Law. I don't know what's happening here. Dennis? Let's see if we'll bring him in by telephone, an outside telephone, which is a little bit of a inconvenience. But again, this is also for the good. Let's just see what's going on over here. Dennis? Waiting for Dennis to pick up the phone. We'll just... Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Justin.
Yeah, we seem to be having a problem again. I mean, you called in, and then I heard you. And if you want to try maybe one more time to call the show, I'll let you in, or we'll just have to work off my cell phone speaking into my other phone. What do you want to do?
Let me call again.
Okay, bye. In the meantime, while Dennis is calling in, we might as well serenade you with another song. Ya da 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 ha ya 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 ha ya da ya ya ha ya da ya 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 da da. Let's see if we have again Dennis now. Dennis?
Hello.
Okay, we have you. Okay, very good. It's about time. Okay, we went about 5 or 6 minutes into the program. We start off with Return Again by a classic Jewish performer who passed away almost 30 years ago, Rav Shlomo Karlbach. Return to your soul. Where is your soul, blessed souls? Where is your soul? What is the land of your soul? But that's just, you know, to try to whet your appetite, to give you an idea. We like to go rational and super rational. And here we're going to taking a couple teachings from the teaching of Elijah the prophet, who declared, and this, the source for this is in the, it was taught in the house of Eliyahu, or Elijah, Rabbah, chapter 9, teaching number 1. The prophet Elijah declared, I call heaven and earth to bear witness that anyone, Jew or Gentile, I like to say Ben or Bas Noach, man or woman, slave or servant or handmaid, if his or her deeds are worthy, the divine spirit will rest upon him. And another teaching, actually that was one teaching from the house of Elijah the prophet. Here's a teaching Rabbi Yosef Rosen of Rogachev in his classic work Tzavas Paneach, which was actually one of the terms used for Joseph after he was ordained second to the king in Egypt. And based on a prophecy in Isaiah, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. The term all flesh is referring to all human beings. As well, the Talmud in that was formulated in Jerusalem stated, quote, whether one hears the divine name blasphemed by an Israelite or one of the members of the nations, one must rend his or her garments. Actually, it's actually the male rends his garments. Which verse proves this? I am God, the Lord of all flesh, and that's in Jeremiah 32, verse 27. So Dennis, starting off today's show, because again, there's still too much contentiousness in the world. There's too many assertions. There's too many people in the world, despite the fact that the world population meter, which I'm looking at right now as I speak to you, indicates that more than 2 to 1 people are being born today, babies, I suppose those who have passed on. And so far, the population growth for the human family condition so far, which is a running number as of November 26, 2023, is 66,362,345, and it keeps on going up like every second. So Dennis, teachings to encourage those who might not have been educated that they can actually come to receive and internalize the divine spirit, which we know as Ruach HaKodesh, and that there's ultimate responsibility for anyone, no matter who they are, to avoid blaspheming the divine creator's name. Your take on any of these matters or anything you want to interject as we proceed further into the program?
Oh, you don't have to be educated to love God. Anybody can love God, and everybody can love him at the same time. Why? He is our creator. He has opened the doors so wide that you don't have an excuse not to love him. Why? Can you hate him? There's no hate in your heart for our creator. He hasn't done anything bad to you. So therefore, only the good side is open. Why not take advantage of that? Even if you aren't trained, you aren't educated, you must feel that we were put on earth and all these people that are here are still surviving after all this time, especially after Dawn always reads the demograph of how our population on earth is increasing, even though more people are dying. More people may die, but that doesn't stop the creation and the recreation of more and more children. Things can't be that bad if our population is growing. So the door is open. Can you love God, participate, and understand why the door is open? The door was never shut. It was always open. Since you were born, there's no reason to interfere or to have an obstacle between you and our Creator. Our Creator is there. Time has proven that. The history of Scripture has been proven and reproven and reproven over so many times that it's hard to deny it. So even if you don't be educated, but you can read a little bit of Scripture, you should enjoy it because it's been proven to be correct. So we are not talking about something that comes and goes. We're talking about something that's ever present, and you cannot deny it. If you feel like you must do good, do good. That is a good thing for all humans. If we all did good, it'd be a better world. But even if it doesn't work, we're still creating more babies than people are dying. So that's a positive sign that our civilization is going in the right direction. Believe it or not, there's still a lot of good to be done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dennis. Actually, I was thinking as you were talking to read one more prophecy. And this is from the prophet Joel. It's pretty simple. It's pretty open. It's pretty, I don't think it should be given to any misinterpretation. And here's a prophecy in chapter 3, verse 1 in the book of Joel, the prophet Joel, who, by the way, from our oral Torah tradition, was actually one of the sons of Samuel the prophet. That's interesting that you actually have a father-son prophecy recordings in the book of Samuel, book 1 and 2, and the book of Joel. So here's the prophecy from the book from Joel, the prophet. And afterward, I shall pour forth my spirit upon all flesh, and all your sons and daughters will prophesy, your elders will dream dreams, your youth will see visions. So the commentary of I shall pour forth my spirit, this refers to the spirit of wisdom and apprehension, comprehension of godliness upon all flesh. This is for all the nations of the world who will come to discern and know the Creator. And Mitzudas David, one of the rabbinical great commentators in the last several hundred years, commented on that. One last paragraph. Although eternal life may be attained in the present state of reality, which I think Dennis likes to coin it as getting to heaven, it will primarily characterize the future when spiritual knowledge will increase. At that time, everyone will know the Creator, and through this knowledge, everyone will be incorporated into the divine oneness. Then all creatures shall live forever, like God. For knowing God, everyone will be incorporated into him, as the wise man remarked, if I knew him, I would be like him. And that was written from a classic book called Khazari, which was written, I guess, like 700-800 years ago, maybe 900 years ago. The spiritual knowledge will be in the future, as indicated by the verse in Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 9, the earth will be full of the knowledge of Creator. Because of this knowledge, nothing will be lacking. Thus the Midrash states, quote unquote, if you possess knowledge, what do you lack? But if you lack knowledge, what do you possess? And that's from the Midrash Vayikra, and everything will be completely good. So, Dennis, how can we encourage people to look into these scriptures, these prophecies, to think this is our future, not reducing human population, not nuclear conflagration? He didn't mention it here, but there's a prophecy from Isaiah, which we've mentioned. I think they will turn their weapons into prune hooks and plow sheds. So what can we do to just push open the envelope, to try to open up the masses of people around the world, whether listening to the show? And by the way, I just want to mention parenthetically, it's still United States is our biggest listening audience at 85.61%. Then tied by Jamaica and Canada, very interesting mix. Both are listening at a rate of 3.03% of our audience. Then Israel and Australia are 2.27% listening audience, respectively, each one of them. So, Dennis, what can we do to get people to contemplate that there is actually a very positive future connected to the knowledge of Creator, and when that knowledge is accessed by the masses, we shouldn't be surprised when life on Earth has become improved?
Our future is positive, and all the people who had any type of predictions or thoughts of the future have always had positive. I've never heard of a negative thing saying that, well, tomorrow the world is going to end. No, those are some of the people who get off the track and who don't believe that the future is positive. How can you say that there's no future when you look at our history? We've been around for a long time. We've had lots of problems, and we all overcame them. Maybe some people didn't, but most of our ancestors overcame them. And they overcame them through the whole concept of positive thought. If you think the world is going to end tomorrow, well, why hang around today then? Tomorrow is always going to be there until our Creator says there's no tomorrow. Up until that time, there's always going to be a tomorrow. And that's a positive sign. There is nothing negative about tomorrow. Yes, we can have fear, but good thoughts overcome fear every day of the week. We depend on good thoughts. We don't depend on some people who try to spread their negativity just because they had a problem. Other people's problems are not your problems if you have positive, good thoughts and the future is yours. You can live in the future if you prepare for it. And you can prepare for it by reading some of the scripture that people have written over millenniums. And you know what? None of the naysayers have been right. The world has an end. We're not going to end it tomorrow unless the Creator wants to. But why would the Creator want to do that when it's been going on for so long? Nature doesn't stop. Look at the world around us. Nature is going. The sun comes out. The wind is blowing. The tides of the sea are always working. The seasons change. There's new life everywhere in nature. Flowers are appearing every time the cycle begins. The flowers haven't stopped. They won't, not until the Creator says it's time to stop. But in the meantime, we all must live and live for the future. And that's a positive thought. That's why we try to impress our children for the future. It is good and we hope that they will do better or is equal to what we did. So nothing wrong with the future. Enjoy it. You are good, and keep on doing what you've been doing.
Thank you, Dennis. Okay, we're going to move on before we start talking about the prophets of Daniel and the prophetic teachings of Proverbs. With, let's say you're walking on the street and you ask someone, sir or madam, what is education according to your opinion? So we wouldn't be surprised if people would respond that education is instructing a child how to behave, how they should conduct themselves. But there was a Rav who didn't necessarily disagree with that, but rather wanted to emphasize something else in the education process, especially of little children as they develop into older children and adolescents and eventually adults. And he said, education is not training. It's to educate means to create desire and curiosity. Meaning, if we want a child to learn a certain type of behavior, we have to evidence to them, whether in our own actions or to teach them step by step, why it's worthwhile to behave in a certain way. And when we say we want to explain to a child, we should mean we have to finally focus on his or her understanding, where he or she is standing at that particular existential moment. A child should understand why it's worthwhile for them to make changes in their behaviors in a certain way. And if they don't understand, it's because we haven't explained to them properly. So it's really the obligation to educate others is based on the educators themselves having a dedication, so far as we've seen, to show that why it's worthwhile to behave in a certain way and how to create a desire and curiosity towards the firing of the mind, the expansion of the mind, the widening out of the emotional capacities that each and every human being has their own unique portion. Because we know everyone has their own disposition. And some children are clever and understand everything the first time, while others need to explain dozens or hundreds of times. But there's never any place for despair. From this Rav Avar, Rav Yoram of Avergel, that our sages have said in the tractate on the fathers, the more effort, the greater the reward. So once a child can understand and appreciate a subject, they develop a fervent desire to behave in a manner accordingly to that subject they've just learned. This burning fire of desire is precisely, in an example that we have from the Torah, is that Jacob of Israel taught the 12 tribes. Similar to the above, when a person wants to understand a concept to a lofty concept, or to connect to a lofty concept, they should try to recognize and comprehend it rather than intimidate themselves with the greatness and loftiness of it. So here we assert that the nation of Israel, and everyone will have their own spirituality to reach into, whether books they're reading into or other oral traditions that they have, that we assert that this is the greatness of the studying of learning of our Holy Torah. Through its learning, an inner desire develops in a person to want to actually take action and make it a better world and draw closer to God. So Dennis, you take on these matters, education, different strokes for different folks in terms of how to, boost their mental acuity. What's your take on these matters?
We humans are, I would say, a little different group. Why? Because of the question why. We always ask why. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? And we want answers. And who's going to give us the answers? We're going to get it from people who have more experience than we do. And we hope that they will satisfy us to understand the question of why. Because it is written down, and if you have a lot of books, you can be educated that way by reading it through books. But if you don't have a lot of books, you ask other people around you, why this, why that, why? Why question is never completely answered, because there's always another why question after it. We humans always like to question everything, whether it moves or not. Why? Because we want to know. We want to understand. Doesn't mean we want to be smarter. We will be smarter if we can understand. But the first part of it is to answer the question of why. Why should I do this? Why should I do that? That's what our parents spend their time trying to solve the mystery of why. And after we start getting older and older, it doesn't become a mystery because we're learning and we're understanding more. So we may ask less questions when we're growing up if we get enough answers to the why questions while we're small, while we're below the adult limit, age or whatever. But we have to ask that question why. Doesn't matter if you go to school or not. You must understand the answer to the why, and you incorporate that into your body of knowledge. And if you ask enough questions and get enough answers, if you can persist in asking those questions, you will have enough information so that you don't have to ask too many whys because you're understanding. And that's when you know that you have come of age to the point that you can make your own decisions and you have your own free will. And you can avoid those things where people never want to go because there's no end to it. If you want to go negative, you can undercover things. And as you peel away the outside, you keep finding there's more negative, negative, negative. People cannot take that for a period of time. You must have it. You must satisfy your spirit with the positive things. And that's the true answers to the question of why. Why is this here? Why am I here? The answer to those are very, very important. It may take a lifetime to understand, but you never stop asking questions because you have to satisfy your mind that you can understand why in the first place are you asking the questions, because you don't know. And when we were born, our minds were basically blank, and we started developing it. But the why question is so important that we must get answers, and we will be driven to keep finding out why, even though 10 people didn't answer the question or give me any information to help me understand why. But that doesn't stop us. We are driven. We are being pushed by our minds that we have to know what is going on.
Thank you, Dennis. We're going further now into the book of Daniel, chapter 2. We did the first two verses. We're going to go now, we did 20 and 21. Now we're going to go into verse 22. And it says, he reveals, this is Daniel's prophecy, he reveals the deep and the mysterious, knows what is in the dark, and light dwells with him. So here, commenting on he reveals the deep and the mysterious, that only the Creator can reveal matters that are so deep and complex that they are inaccessible to the human mind, and things so mysterious that they are unknowable to men because of their secrecy. Now, certain things that were mysterious, say, 3,000, 4,000, almost 6,000 years ago, like, say, the cell phone. If that was revealed, say, 1,000 years ago, in certain quarters of society, that might have been considered witchcraft. But today, it's a matter of understanding how a small device can hit a satellite somewhere thousands and tens of thousands, if not 100,000 miles up in the sky. I don't know the exact height that the satellites are, and broadcast a communication to Australia, can raise money through Zelle or PayPal or bank accounts. So these things would, in the past, could be, you know, perhaps be under the category of witchcraft or sorcery. What we see has nothing to do with that. It's just man getting access to mysteries which were previously unknown to him or her. And ultimately, the ultimate mysteries of creation, we're talking about what is the hardwiring of creation from the angelic viewpoint. And we have prophecies in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 1, 2, and 10, that talk about what is known as the Merkava, the chariot. I remember many years ago, maybe Dennis remember the movie, there was a book and then a documentary called Chariot of the Gods. And they would read or show pictures of some sort of divine chariot, and questioned if it was a UFO. Well, it might not have been a UFO. It might have been just an angelic realm that the authors or the artists captured on the wall and gave for future generations to gawk at and say, how could this have been? So with that being said, Creator's knowledge, which is not human knowledge, is not something, and Rambam stresses this as well, the Creator's knowledge is not something outside of himself, as opposed to we acquire knowledge and we get something that was previously not within us, and now it's become part and parcel of our consciousness. One of the ways that humans acquire knowledge is through the sense of sight. And this can depend on, you know, stimulation from outside. So what happens is the eye is going to react with the brain, so the rays reflected to it from an object cannot perceive that it is in the dark. But however, God's knowledge is an innate attribute, and Rambam talks about this. Again, he does not know through knowledge which is outside of himself. He is the knower, and he is that which is known. He is knowledge itself. Everything is one. So the concept is not really something that Rambam writes that we can really, it's hard for us to express this. It's hard for the ear to hear it, nor the heart to come some sort of emotional clarity. But we take it as the fact that there are secrets that we cannot access. In time, they can be explained to us. And ultimately, there is no darkness because the reason why is there's no external obstruction to God's knowledge. We might be in the darkness. However, it's a matter for us, again, as I mentioned before, that if a person has knowledge, what do you lack? If a person has no knowledge, what have they gained? So with that being said, Dennis, you know, darkness and light and everything's revealed to the Creator, is it possible to get 8 billion people to realize that there's knowledge way beyond us and somehow through Creator's mercies we can start to get graced with it if we access certain processes of thinking beyond ourselves and seeing beyond the physicality of this world?
There is hope. There is hope for everybody. And hope lies in the future. And you must be patient to understand different things. The things that Don has already mentioned and those things that have been invented 10, 15, 20, 50 years ago, they weren't done overnight. They were done by humans trying to figure out how to answer the why question again. But you got to have hope and place it in the future, that if you're patient enough, you will be able to understand. All good things come to everybody given time. Time is one of the most important factors that we have. And if you don't believe in the future, well, then you're saying that there is no hope, and that's not true. There's always hope, even to people who are not really 100% mentally capable. They have a little bit of hope, and their little bit of hope can expand so that they can understand what the future is about. Are they patient? Sometimes they're not. We're not patient. We want to know immediately. But sometimes it takes a while to things to sink in for the understanding to occur. We don't open our brains and have it all of a sudden all this information inserted into our brain. It's accumulated over a period of time. If you're patient and you have some time, you can accumulate some of this knowledge and understand it. Who knows? You may be even an inventor if you have enough patience to figure out things. But this is hope for the future. So we don't fear it. We believe it, and we believe that it's going to be positive. And a lot of the sayings that are in Scripture are warning about the future. But the future they saw as compared to the future that we're putting together, is it a different world? Are there too many unknowns now? Is it everything getting too scientific? You can't handle it. Baloney. It's all there for your understanding. And a lot of people, even though they don't understand the inner workings of a cell phone, still use the cell phone. They're not afraid to use the cell phone. They don't have to understand exactly what is the scientific principles that are being used, but you can use the cell phone, which enables you to take advantage of all these discoveries that have been done over the past couple of years. The future is positive. If you trust in the future, you will figure out a place where you can fit in. But we must remember that the future is controlled by God, and it is a positive thing. And he wants you to learn, and he wants you to participate and to get more knowledge and to use it on a positive basis. That is a very simple way of looking at the future. But I feel bad for people who say, oh, no, that's for me. I can't do that. I can't touch it. Well, Loni, if you have enough patience and understanding and the belief that God has a positive place for you in the future, everything will work out.
Beautiful, Dennis. We're going to go to one more verse. It's a long one, but there's plenty of explanation on it. This is chapter 2, verse 23 in Daniel the prophet, the book of Daniel. To you, O God of my forefathers, I give thanks and praise, who has given me wisdom and might, and now you have made known to me what we prayed of you, that the matter of the king have you made known to us. Now, what is this referring to? That Daniel, first of all, wants to give credit to his ancestors, which I know Dennis has talked about, whether talking directly about in the merit of one's ancestors, or there was something before us, so we've inherited something, so it had to be something, you know, good and tangible and life-promoting from those who came before us. So Daniel, in his humility, according to the Alshik, says, I was not assuming that I was given more wisdom and might than my companions on my account. It must be in the merit of my ancestors who were also your servants and prophets. So the prophets, more likely than not, had ancestors who were prophets directly, or the fact that the common ancestors of all the Jewish people and for all the nations of the world, because Avraham is called Avamon Goyim, the father of many nations, spiritually speaking. So all of us have, and Noach, by the way, was a prophet. So and before him was Methuselah, and before him was Hanoch, and before him was Seth, and before him was Adam, going way, way back to the beginning of the human family experience. So all of us have ancestors who are prophets. So we can think about that and meditate upon that, that perhaps there was someone in our family line, tree line, that we've descended from directly, which had prophetic spirit, and we can ask the Almighty. You know, I'm not the wisest person in the world. I mean, for most people, I don't think that's such a hard task. Myself, for sure, it's not. But there is the wisdom and might that can be given to a person, in this case with Daniel, concerning a minister, we'll talk about him next week, Arioch, and to try to extend the time to King Nebuchadnezzar for his sages not being able to interpret his dreams, which were bewildering him, and only Daniel could respond to them, he wanted to kill them all. So Daniel, even though, so to speak, these was his competition, was praying for them that was making known that the matter of the king have you made known to us, meaning he's advocating that through his prayers and through the prayers of his friends that there hopefully will be a pushing off of the decree to kill all the advisors of Nebuchadnezzar who were not able to interpret his dreams. Now, the Creator revealed to him in a secret, based on what we prayed of you, the collective merits and prayer of Daniel and his companions earned him the revelation which he prayed to share with them. So, with that being said, Dennis, first of all, the humility to realize something came before us, some traditions came before us. All of us have a common linkage at one point or another with prophets in our bloodline running subconsciously through us. Whether we activate or not, that's another question. And the fact that in the merit, Daniel claims, in the merit of praying and his companions, he was meritorious to a revelation we talked about before at the beginning of the program, from the house of the teaching, the teachings from the house of Elijah the prophet, that good actions can allow a person to get these type of revelations known as Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, or the more higher elevated level, Ruach HaNevuah, the spirit of prophecy. So your take on these matters, Dennis.
We're only here because our ancestors were successful. Life did not stop, even though they were worried about the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, and all these other things that the earth was supposed to explode if there was too much of them. Well, they led us to believe out of fear. But think of all the things that your ancestors went through for you to be here on the planet today. You can't know them all. A lot of hardships. They overcame unknowns galore everywhere. They had soothsayers that were saying that, oh, the future's going to be bad. The future was good. We are here because our ancestors believed that there was hope and belief and good in the future. Other than that, we wouldn't be here. So you, people who are listening, are living proof that your ancestors made some good choices. And it's up to you to continue that. You can continue that by thinking positive for the future. And with God, you'll overcome any obstacle in the future. Why? If your ancestors did it, why can't you do it? But then again, do you believe you can do it? You should believe that the future is positive. That way, you can rely on God, even though you feel like you're facing unknowns, fear of the future, not with God at your side, not with God directing your thoughts, not with you trying to understand God more than the fear that the devil may create. Anyway, we all should be thinking positive about the future. And any scripture is a good place to start reading, because understanding problems in the past that our ancestors overcame should only encourage us, we can encourage you, me, and everybody else for our problems from the future. It is there, and if we think positive, with the help of God, everything should work out.
Amen. So now we're going to move on to the book of Proverbs. Again, wow, it's more than probably 54, 55 years ago, Lubavitcher Rebbe, His Merits Protect Us, had a meeting with Mayor John Lindsay. I barely remember. I'm sure Dennis remembers him better than I do. He probably was in your early or mid, or maybe even late teenage years, Dennis, at the time he was mayor. And the Rebbe encouraged him to teach the book of Proverbs in his Sunday school in the Christian church that he was a part of. I don't remember the denomination Mr. Lindsay was a part of. Anyway, we're going to start off from where we left off last week in chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my instructions. May your heart keep my commandments. So there's two things here, blessed souls. First of all, spirituality contains within it instructions how to live life. Because otherwise, you know, we're souls in the material world, but we have to use the material world to be sensitive to the needs of our soul. And our soul wants us to access through our very human, teeny tiny human brains, how in the mundane one can actually, you know, experience intense spirituality, which I like to use the term spirituality, focus, being very focused, the purpose of being, and also that our hearts should keep the commandments. Now, we have 613 commandments, blessed souls, that they're all, the Rambam enumerates each and every one of them, which we can only really do 87 today because we don't have full sovereignty over the land of Israel, as we see what's going on over there, unfortunately, in the Middle East for both sides. So whatever your form of spirituality is, blessed souls, and we of Israel advocate the Torah, there's instruction. And there has to be a commitment of the heart to want to do what's right. In this case, you know, do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery, all these different types of commandments which are listed in the Ten Commandments, which many people associate as the entirety of the Torah, which is basically the I don't want to say prototype mitzvahs. They are the mitzvahs on which other ones are springing out of to bring to the 613 or for the 7 Noah commandments for all the inhabitants of this world. And then he goes on to say, by not forgetting instruction and making a commitment of the heart to keep the commandments, for they shall add length of days and years of life and peace to you. So Metzudah David said, if a person lives a life of the spirit of the teachings of the Most High, one should not be surprised by years of peace and tranquility, an inner peace, an inner tranquility. I mean, you know, the hustle bustle, especially of city life, is not so peaceful, not so tranquil, but knowing that we're doing the right thing, blessed souls, is the years of peace and tranquility, I think, that Matsuda David is hinting to. And the adding of length of days and peace, that by doing what is in sync with Creator's wish for how the creation should be worked with, this should bring about a person should be surprised that they have good fortune and that the Creator will add to a person's life and the merit of one's learning, getting the knowledge of the Torah, or, you know, everyone has to decide what their divine teachings are. We visit, this is called Torah, it's called other things in other languages, everyone's to dice and slice as they are. But again, too, that there's basically, the Meiri says there's two ways to add to one's life, qualitatively, quantitatively, economically, whatever it may be, through diligence in learning what is the law of the Most High and the observance of the commandments. Then if these commandments are in fact divine, then there's an energy we can access. And I think when most people involved in acts of kindness and brotherly love and trying to bring people together and raise the spirit of the fallen ones, spiritually and economically, emotionally, they, I think many of them testify that they feel more alive when they're helping people as opposed to just sitting back and not paying attention to the plight of their neighbors.
Well, you got a point there, Don, but a lot of the commandments or mitzvahs, if you want to call them, have a lot of negativity to them. In other words, they're warning you not to do these things because they're not good. But the other half is, what about the positive ones? Why aren't they emphasized? Now, the Rebbe, when he was talking to John Lindsay back in those days, started the cycle that the Maimonides described, or started with. And that cycle continued, and it took several years to occur. But at the end of it, we found out there were a lot of young people who were interested in these positive ideas because it encompassed everything that their brains were thinking about. But it wasn't that they were worried about doing something bad. It's that they were emphasizing and doing something that was good. So, in other words, can you get more people to follow you with good things as opposed to emphasizing the bad? We don't know because this comes and goes sometimes, but we only hope that people will eventually find the positive way and see the path that God has set for them to get into heaven. And this is done through positive thoughts. Your brain can handle a lot of negative things, but your brain, especially your part of your brain, is positive and it wants to do good. It's sometimes we're a little timid at doing it. Sometimes we're fearful of showing our true feelings, but we'll keep it in our mind because it's ours. And sometimes we'll close it, we'll lock it up in our mind. But that's not living life. That's just hoping that the good thoughts will carry you through, when in effect, the good life will carry you through. So what we're doing or trying to attain here is that your thoughts are positive, even though you don't live a glorious life. In other words, let's say you were sweeping floors or washing windows. That's not a bad thing, but where was your mind while you were doing that? Was it on positive things for the future? It could have been, but that's up to you. And that's what we try to teach people by listening to our program today and understanding Scripture, that there are positive thoughts. We know what the negatives are because we've been emphasizing that. And if we stay away from the negatives, we'll revert to the positive. Why? Because that's the easiest thing to do, and that is to love God. We may wash our hands, we may take a bath, we may eat our food. Does that have to do something with God? No, in your mind, if you are with God, you're in a safe and solid place and you're prepared for the future. You can take care of your daily things and still love God. And that's what we want people to do, to think positive, and don't let those little things of life that humans are always tested with as being really important. And that's where we end up listening to false preachers, false politicians, false leaders, and telling you that you have to worry about everything or else you're going to die. No, you're going to die no matter what, but die on your terms. The good, positive things are the things to follow. And we hope we will all do it. Everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. So we're now going to the third verse in chapter 3. Kindness and truth shall not leave you. Bind them upon your neck. Inscribe them upon the tablet of your heart. Concerning kindness and truth shall not leave you. So it is to the benefit of oneself to accustom oneself to traits of kindness and truth that they should never leave you. And these traits are interpreted in various ways by various commentators. That Ibn Nahmiyash explains that in terms of people have relationships with their fellow men to men, women to women, kindness denotes any consideration given towards another person, whereas truth denotes a consideration that is obligatory, for instance, reciprocating another person's kindness. If someone does something kind to you, try to reciprocate with a kindness back to them. And finding favor and good understanding in that verse, that's verse 4, so we'll stop there. So Dennis, kindness and truth. Why are people putting these kind of like on the side of the road and just going for pleasure, self-pleasurizing activities? I'm saying things that are healthy even, as to the exclusion of trying to help another person. Perhaps they might, for instance, in an allegorical teaching, eat maybe one less chocolate bar during the week, but if they can give that $1.75 to someone so they can have a hot cup of coffee on a freezing day, perhaps that's sweeter in the Creator's eyes, and it should hopefully be sweeter in the person who's doing the kindness, and obviously it's sweet for the person who's receiving that hot cup of coffee, otherwise is freezing outdoors.
Well, there's two types of people. Are you thinking of the long run or the short term? Some people think of the short term, and that lasts for a minute or two. But there's other people that say, wait a minute, what I did today, does it reflect on what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day? What choices are you making? Are you making choices for the future, or are you talking about something that's going to last for another minute and disappear, and now you can be happy that those little things are gone? The good things stay with you. When you were born, you were given a mind by God, and God gave you a positive brain. You must use it on that basis that it was given, because that's what is expected. So we cannot look at those little picadillos, little things that seem like they're big achievements, but they last for a minute or two, and then what are you going to do for the rest of the day? No, my friends, we must remember we were designed to be positive people, and we want to be positive over the long run. So why sacrifice your short run when it doesn't even count? Why eat something that's going to be unhealthy for you? Why? Because in the moment it seems like a funny thing to do and you can get away with it and you can live for another minute. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? You cannot look at little things and give them value over the long-term things that you have to deal with in a lifetime. That's where you get your satisfaction from, not from overcoming a game that you're playing that's going to last for the next half hour, and then you say you won the game. No, no. You're involved in the game of life, and that's the real game that you must worry about, because it's going to last you for your lifetime. You can play, and do little things that will feel like you've done good things or overcome things, and it lasts for a minute or two. Those things quickly go by. Your life is yours. Live it the way you want to, but it should be a good thing.
Our last verse for today, Dennis, and it's pretty open, and I think it's a very encouraging statement in chapter 3, verse 4 in Proverbs, and find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Therefore, if a person is going to seek out to be a person of understanding by both God and man, one should find favor and good appearance in the eyes of God and man, meaning that through the good deeds that you're doing, you will find favor in the eyes of God and men. And it's also very important that we have to be honest before God and men. Now, we can't fool God. He knows when we're being honest or not honest. But sometimes we can fool people. But ultimately, we're only fooling ourselves, because the physics involved is that if we're deceptive to one person, we'll see that others might come to deceive us. So, Dennis, you know, following, again, learning, getting knowledge, spiritual knowledge or cognitive knowledge, and wanting to take action, known as keeping the commandments, adds to the days, length of days and years of life and peace for a person, that kindness and truth won't leave a person. And then the so to speak, cherry on top, although there are some people who don't even think about their own honor, but it is important that people who are professing to be of a godly inclination, they should be finding favor in people and within God. And I would say that if you're finding favor within the human family experiences that you're having on a day-to-day basis, you should be pretty confident that the Almighty is pleased with you as well. If you're fostering good understanding and helping out other people and seeing people appreciate the very fact of this, whether you're the CEO of a major company or someone who's sweeping the streets, good people find favor and good understanding regardless of their economic standing, especially in the sight of God and men. So, Dennis, your take on these matters for the last word of today's program.
We're humans, me included. We're designed to be good. Why aren't we all doing good? That's because we have a free will and we decide that there's a little things that we're more interested in. Why? Because we like them. They give us some pleasure. But do those little things really add up to anything? Do you really want to do good? I'm not saying you should give up everything just to be good. But a part of you is still going to remind you to do some good. So even though you're not doing any good, you can say, well, I'm not doing anything bad. Does that mean you're doing good? Or are you just delaying it, looking the other way? Or getting that out of your mind for the moment because you feel like it's causing too much trouble thinking about it. Life is always going to be trouble, and we have to think about it. But the choices we make must be positive. If you don't think positive, you're going to pick up many bad habits that you won't like and your neighbors won't like. So we must remind ourselves we were designed to be good. And we all can be good if we concentrate on it. So be good, and God bless.
Thank you, Dennis, for those wise words. Bless those. We've come to the end of another program. Went pretty quickly, actually, because I think the dialogue was flowing and growing and hopefully showing that everyone should not be disappointed, though they've been anointed with a Tzelem Elokim, which is no dream, the divine image to help you get in scrimmage. Hopefully in a way of a Havachad, one love, Gorel Echad, one destiny, Kolanov, always, but Darki Shalom. We end off as we've been for the last several weeks with the Maccabees one day, because one day we want to see an end to suffering, which as we talked in previous presentations, this is revealing the might of the Creator when all the downtrodden, the people of this world, the 8 billion plus, will be saying we've been uplifted through the revelations of godliness. And hopefully with the coming of the Messiah, who will roar out revelations, even the greatest prophets of all the ages and the sages have ever accessed, in a way that we can make this little mustard seed in relation to the entire universe just a happier place with no jealousy, hatred, or competition, which is not needed at all. We just need to compete within ourselves to make ourselves better human beings, therefore, on a teeny tiny microcosmic level, make it a better world, and hopefully this will have a domino effect that the world will be domineered by the spirit of kindness and wisdom of the Almighty and brotherly love. Let's go now to the Shiva University. Matt, see you one day. Take care, everyone.